How many siblings do you have?
So, do we want to include my biological father's side, but my mom's side?
Sure, yeah, all your siblings.
Okay, let's see. 23, I think it is. Yeah, 23 plus.
Hello, you are listening to NPE Stories. This is a podcast where NPEs can share their story. I am your host, Lily, and I found out I was an NPE through an ancestry DNA test that changed my life forever. NPE is a term that stands for not parent expected or non-paternal event. This means that one or more of our parents are not who we believe them to be. NPE Stories is a podcast where NPEs can share their story of what their original family was like, how they found out they were an NPE, and what their journey has been like since the day they found out. Welcome to episode 188. Today I am speaking with Devin. Hi, Devin.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm really curious to hear your story today. We already were getting into it, and my mouth was kind of hanging open a little bit. You told me that you shared your story, I guess you described it as being a little bit more angry a couple years ago, on DNA Surprises. How'd that go?
It was a good experience, but I know when I was doing that interview, I was a little pissed off. Yeah, at that time, I was in that stage where I was just like angry and pissed off, and I wanted to call my mom and cuss her out, but I never actually went through with that, obviously.
I have been there, Devin. I still sometimes get moments where I'm angry. I mean, today I'm in a good space, but I know that feeling. There is definitely some phases to finding out you are an NPE. Okay, so let's get a breakdown of who was in your raising family. Why don't you go ahead and tell me about who was in your family of origin, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. Well, I was born in Dayton, Ohio in 1990. I am the youngest of three kids. Now, when I was a baby, it was just me, my mom, and I guess my birth certificate dad / her husband. My oldest brother had lived with his dad. And then my sister, I think she lived with our grandparents at the time. Well, that relationship didn't last. I think it only lasted like the first few years of my life. We wasn't really that close from the beginning. I just remember when he passed away when I was 9 years old, and my mom was telling me this and showing like a newspaper article of his obituary. Only thing that popped in my head was, wait, mom's friend was my dad? But again, because we weren't so close, I didn't even know that he was my supposed dad.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Was this your birth certificate father that passed away when you were 9?
Yes.
Okay. And did he help raise you?
I would say somewhat. Because we were living together. We were all living together when I was younger. And then I was getting Social Security benefits because of him.
Okay.
In a way, somewhat. But after they had separated, because they never actually got a divorce, I think only maybe saw him twice. I spoke to him on the phone once. And I think, again, when he moved out, I think I was probably like 3 or 4. So I wasn't really much there, and his family didn't really fuck with us, to be honest. I think they didn't really like my mom. So growing up, we were kind of poor, to be honest. We were on the poor side. I just remember us being on welfare at one point, going to the food pantry, getting food. It'd be times where my grandparents and my aunt and uncle, they would have to step in and like just buy us food or gifts or clothes. They actually took us to the amusement park when we were younger. We went out to eat because of them, because when it came to my mother, she really never took us out to eat except for maybe one time. We went to Red Lobster and I was 10 years old. And even then, she was complaining about how expensive it was. So we never really went out to like a sit-down restaurant like me and you would do.
Did your mom raise you as a single mom?
Yes. Yes, she raised us as a single parent. It was a little chaotic, too, because my mom also has a drinking problem. And when she gets to drinking, she gets to acting a little crazy and wants to fuck with people unprovoked. I just remember one time coming home from school and she just started fucking with me for no reason and just ruined my whole day. Like, I had a good day at school. Just imagine having a good day at school. You coming home, and out of nowhere, she just starts fucking with everybody. That's what it was. And it, when she was in relationships, too, they were very toxic because she had this tendency of being around people who were also alcoholics. And I remember so much stuff, like, when it came to her relationships. Some I can't repeat for legal reasons, but it involved some violence that could have potentially put my brother and sister in jail. But me and my mom, we were extremely close growing up. Like, anywhere she will go, I will go with her. I was pretty much a mama's boy. But as I got older, I started to really see her for who she was. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you can't see no wrong in people. But when I started to grow up and I started to really see some stuff in her, I didn't really like her drinking. It's been times where she has stolen money from me. It'll be times where someone would give me money for my birthday and she'll just take all that money and buy some liquor and cigarettes with it. And won't even say I'm sorry. She'll say I borrowed your money, but I never seen that money again. And it's been a couple times where she had pawned some of my shit in that was actually presents to me. One of them, she actually lied in my face and said that this particular person wanted their gift back. But when I asked that person about it, he said he never asked for it back. And that's when we came to the conclusion that she snuck in pawned one of my presents in to the pawn shop behind my back. So I really started, my trust for her really started to go downhill. I mean, I was still listening to some of the stuff that she had to say, but I was slowly starting not to trust her. Mm-hmm. And then this was the thing that really started to piss me off. When I was in high school and getting ready to leave, just start my life after high school, coming up with all these ideas of like trying to leave my hometown and go somewhere else, she would say, she'll find anything to say to try to talk me out of it. She was literally trying to block my blessings because she needed someone to be around for whenever she get hit up for money. And I didn't like that. So I never allowed her to try to control my future, luckily. I was actually kind of a black sheep in the family as well, which kind of made it hard for me. Because it wasn't just like my mom, my brother and sister. It was my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, my cousins. Because we were in that same small city. So we saw each other a lot. And some of them had a habit of just criticizing everything I do, from my voice. My uncle, he really pissed me off with this. And this is why I think I had like low self-esteem when it came to my voice. Whenever I like talk on the phone or whenever I talk to people, people would think I'm a woman. I'm not a woman. I'm a man. So my uncle would say stupid, offensive shit like, you need to put some bass in your voice and all this other stuff. But what you're really doing is trying to tell me to mask myself. And I didn't like that. But yeah, they will always talk about me. They will always be critical of everything I do. And this is the point where I really started not to kind of like my family at one point. So when I was 20 years old, I had an opportunity to do an internship at Walt Disney World. And I was just excited about it because I was like, I was leaving in Ohio. I was coming down to Orlando, Florida, where I'm currently living right now. I was going to be gone for 7 months. I found out that almost everybody in the family thought that I wasn't going to make it, that I was making a dumb decision. And none of them really knew anything about the program. I was the only one that really did like all my research, even because I didn't have a car at the time and I never lived on my own prior to this. But it was a good deal for me. So I moved down to Orlando. It went from a 7-month internship to a year. Then I went back home. And I realized I really did not want to be around my family at that time because, you know, you had that freedom of being gone. You could do whatever you want without being judged. And then coming back home and dealing with that same bullshit. I said, no, this isn't going to work for me. Luckily for me, my brother actually lived 40 minutes away. So I asked him, hey, can I stay with you? And he was like, sure. You stay with me, pay rent. I'm like, all right, cool, bet. So I moved with him. I stayed with him for a little bit, about a year and some months. But in between that time, too, I was still like coming back and forth from Orlando to Ohio to do internships at Disney World because I did a total of 3 internships. So eventually I did end up moving out here and becoming an official Florida resident back in 2016. And I've been living here ever since. I mentioned that my mom's husband's family didn't really talk to us like that, right? So I was about 19 years old and I was going to pay my mom's phone bill. And I went to a local pharmacy store. And the cashier, she had asked me a question because the last name was very unique. So she asked me that I knew birth certificate dad? Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, birth certificate dads. And I was like, yeah, that's my dad. And she's like, yeah, that's my grandfather. And I was like, oh, so I'm your uncle. So yeah, that was like the first time I met someone that was like a little awkward.
That is strange.
Yeah, it was strange. So we ended up exchanging like contact information. She went and told her mom and her aunts about me. One of them was like, that's not his son. He just put his name on the birth certificate so he can get the Social Security checks. But she also said that her aunt was kind of slow, so I didn't really take it to the heart. And about 2 months later, I ran to them again. I ran to her mom this time. And she was like, hey, mom, this is the guy that's coming to meet granddad's son. So this will be my birth certificate sister. My birth certificate sister wouldn't even look me in the eye to say hi or nothing. Hmm. I was like, damn, what did I do to you? When my birth certificate father passed away, there was an obituary and my name wasn't included in it at all.
Oh.
Yeah. So I thought that was strange.
Very strange.
Yeah. For years, I was always interested in like contacting this family and me with this family. Matter of fact, when I was about 15, 16, my mom ran to my birth certificate brother. She gave this man my phone number and I never heard from him. Like he never called or anything. Hmm. Yeah. So I remember telling my sister, the one I was raised with, about me and one of the relatives. And my sister blurted out, you know, that's not your real dad, right? Now, mind you, my sister is about 2.5 years older than me. And as much as I love my sister, she has a habit of talking out her ass. So I didn't really believe her when she said that. I just kind of shrugged it off. But about 2 years later, when I was 20, I overhear my mom and my grandmother get into this screaming match one day. And I overheard my grandma say, you don't even know who Devin real daddy is. So that's when that questioning really started to kick in. And that was like back in like 2011. So for years, I always wondered, and I even told a few people, but I never really asked my mom because I was afraid of what the answer was going to be. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So I just never did it. So back in 2019, I decided that I wanted to do the DNA kit test. And I always wanted to do it for years, but the thing was, I just didn't feel like paying for it. So I was like, you know what? Just go ahead, buy it. It's a one-time offer. You'll see your ethnic background. Because I thought it'd be fun. I know a lot of people that did it. So I did my heritage because that was like the cheapest one. They had a deal at the time. So ordered a kit, did the mouth swab, sent it in. And I got my results back about 3 weeks later. So I got back very quickly. So when I pulled up the results, I saw 3 matches. One of them was like a half sister / niece. Another one was a first cousin. And another one was like a second cousin / great aunt. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, who are these people? I don't know these people. And they're super close to me. Now, prior to me getting my results, I had said, if I match with a cousin that lives here in Orlando, I'm going to hit him up. So the third closest match, she actually did live in Orlando, but I'm going to get into that in a minute. So the following morning, I called my mom on the way to work and I'm like, hey, I see these matches on here and I don't know who they are. Is my dad my dad? And she was like, no. So then I'm like, okay, so who's my dad? And she paused for a minute and then she said his name was Alfred Jenkins and he died at 47 years old. He hadn't time for no kids and he died of a heart attack in 2000. But something about it threw me off because, again, it showed that I had like a niece / half sister on my match. So I knew whoever my biological father was, he had other kids. Mm-hmm. So I think I bothered her about that 3 times that day. I kept calling her like, hey, what's going on? Can you give me more information? But she was like, why are you so worried? My husband took care of you. Leave it alone. I was getting pissed with her. So I stopped talking to her for a week. But she was trying to call my phone, you know, just trying to act like that conversation just never happened. And it pissed me off even more because, like, now you're trying to sweep shit under the rug. Like, I'm just about to ignore it. No, what the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. So 1 week later, she calls my phone again, leaves a voicemail. She's like, Devin, why are you not answering my phone calls? Are you angry with me? And that actually did piss me off because the way she did it, because of course I'm mad at you. Why the fuck would I not talk to you for? You just flat out denied me access to my biological father was.
Yeah.
So I called her and I'm telling her, like, can you please tell me the truth? And then she said she don't know who it is. And this is where it's kind of funny right here. She said your biological father could be Bill or Tom. I'm like, you know you made that shit up. I mean, here's the thing, right? Even if you didn't know who the biological father was, deep down inside, you know it could be between one or two people or maybe more. Who knows? But I knew something was off, so I just left it alone. I knew she wasn't going to do anything about it, never going to say nothing. So I decided to take it upon myself to do my own investigation. So I found the two closest matches. I was just trying to find them, actually. I didn't find them yet. One of them was a little girl. She was about 8 years old at the time. She was my actually closest match. So obviously she wouldn't have a social media. She was someone else that has a half sister slash niece. But I noticed that the first cousin was her mom. So I looked for her on Facebook, but because her name was so common, I couldn't find her. So I decided to just go down the row. I found the third closest match. And that's when I found this close match actually lives here in Orlando and actually lives a few miles away from me. So we were going back and forth trying to figure out how we related because she matched with them too. We actually ended up meeting up that following week, you know, just to discuss it. And the day prior to me meeting up with this cousin, I decided to take it upon myself to start looking, like take more time just to look. So I went on Facebook. I started clicking on every single page. And one thing that made it more useful was the fact that my match was Black and all the profiles on Facebook, most of them were white. So like I just had to just click on every page until I found someone who was Black and see if it was her. I think I spent about an hour doing that and I found my close match. And I knew it was my close match because I saw a little girl on there. I went on her Instagram and it said mama to the closest match on there. Mm. So the moment I saw that, I got super excited. I immediately sent her this long message, sent the screenshots to prove who I am. And I actually did the same thing with the cousin as well, because the cousin is actually in her 70s and I didn't want her or her family thinking I was a con artist. My close match didn't respond for like a week. So I was getting impatient. So I decided, all right, I'm going to go on her Instagram and I'm going to message her there. So I messaged her on Instagram, sent the screenshots. 2 days later, she actually responded. Now, I actually want to go back because after I had messaged my closest match, I decided, you know, scroll through her Facebook, look through her pictures. Because we weren't Facebook friends at the time, I couldn't see her friends list. But I could see who likes her comments, like her pictures, comment on her pictures. So I looked through that way. So one of the matches I saw, and I saw them with the last name, one of them lived in Columbus, Ohio, which is about an hour and a half from my hometown. So I knew I was getting close. But then I saw some other matches and some of them lived in Dayton, Ohio. Now, this is what's the thing that kind of threw me off a bit, right? This was the thing that really I knew right then and there that my dad wasn't my dad. So the cousin who I had matched with, she had mentioned to me that she was born in Evergreen, Alabama. So when I went on these the close matches relatives pages, one of them in particular, it said he was born in Evergreen, Alabama and lived right outside of my hometown. And I started looking through his page. I saw that he had a son. I saw that I kind of noticed that me and him looked alike. Later, I found out he was actually adopted, so we're not actually biologically related. But I thought we kind of looked alike, and I instantly got pissed off. Because in the back of my mind, because this person whose Facebook page I had looked up, he's been married since they've still been married for almost 60 years now. I had assumed that he had stepped outside of his marriage, got my mom pregnant, and didn't want nothing to do with me. And I had saw on there that they was like just living this good life, looked like they had their whole lives together. You know, the son went to private school and me living in poverty. I got so pissed off. And you know how you hear stories about the dad telling the kid not to let the other family know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was ready to fuck all that shit up. I was going to be petty. I was going to message the wife. I was going to message the son. I was going to message the in-laws. I was going to message all of them. But part of me said to myself, don't do it. Do not do it. Just wait until this match gets in touch with you and then just see what she has to say. Because one of the things about the DNA match, if I match with you and your child is on there as well, I should have more DNA with you versus your child. The one that was listed as this half sister slash niece, it showed that we share like 23% DNA. And then our mom was 11%. So I was like, yeah, that's a little odd. So when she finally responded to me, she said that we were initially brother and sister because she realized the DNA wasn't set up right. Because she explained to me that she had actually took my ancestry and she transferred her DNA over along with her daughter's DNA and she accidentally put them in the wrong spot. So that's when we were both excited. I was like, oh my God, we were brother and sister. So then she asked me how old, what year I was born in. And then she asked me where I was born. I told her I was born in 1990 and I was born in Dayton, Ohio. She was a year older than me. So then that's when she told me that she has a grandfather who lives in Dayton, Ohio, and who was living there for 50 years before he passed away at age 79 in 2002. So originally I'm thinking, is she trying to push me off to her grandfather? That was like the first thing that popped in my head. So she was explaining to me how she had all these aunts and uncles because of her grandfather. And he was married for almost 50 years. But again, he had this habit of stepping outside the marriages. So it was a lot of children that was produced outside the marriage. So she sends me a picture of her grandfather. And I opened that. And it was a family friend who lived across the street from my grandparents. Mm. And he was sitting in his red Mustang. And I was so shocked that I dropped my phone. And that's when reality started to kick in for me. So then this is what after she sent me that picture, she explained to me that when she did that ancestry test, when she transferred her DNA over to MyHeritage, it was correct. But when she transferred her dad's DNA over, she accidentally put her daughter's name. Mm. So that was actually my brother's DNA versus what would be my great niece.
Yeah.
And at the time I was 2 weeks away from turning 29. My brother at the time, he had just turned 76.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, you were about 29 and your brother was 76?
And he's not even the oldest.
Oh my goodness.
He is not the oldest. The oldest was born in 1940. And I don't even think she's the oldest.
One of your siblings is born in 1940?
I got a sibling, sis. I will show you later.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So he had immediately followed me on Instagram. Her brother had followed me on Instagram as well. So I was chatting with them for a bit. And then I asked her, can you send me all the names of your aunts and uncles? I want to look them up on Facebook. So I found a lot of them. And when I tell you, I was in a state of shock. Because some of them were born in like 1942, 1950, 1964. The closest that was born to me was 1984. So I do have a sister that's 6 years older than me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How many siblings do you have?
So do we want to include my biological father's side, my mom's
side?
Sure,
yeah. All your siblings.
Okay, let's see. 23, I think it is. Yeah, 23 plus. I'll say plus. Because again,
Devin.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like another one that was maybe born in 1939. Who knows? Because it was 68 when I was born.
So you're the youngest of like 23 kids.
Yeah, and here's the thing. My mom was married at the time. She was married for like a couple of years at the time. Lived with her husband and everything. And my biological father had a wife. They lived together for Almost, they'd been married for almost 50 years before they both passed away. And again, he had a lot of kids before the marriage because that was his fourth wife, and during the marriage because I think he had like maybe 10 kids during that marriage, including myself. And this was all, you know, I was at work when all this was happening. Oh. So as soon as I got off work, I called my mom and I'm like, I got a question to ask you. Is Mr. Red my biological father? And she was like, huh? I said, is Mr. Red my biological father? She was quiet for a minute. And then she said, wow, Devin, how did you figure that out? It was kind of sick when she said it that way, though, because it was like a game to her. And then she went on talking about, yeah, I decided to let you figure it out on your own. And I was embarrassed and I was afraid you was going to judge me. But you weren't. She wasn't trying to let me figure it out on my own because she made up lies to try to stop me from trying to find this out. She really wanted me not to know who my biological father was. Mm-hmm. So then she went on talking about, oh, yeah, we were dating and all this other mess. And then talking about, all right, you happy now? You're not going to bring this up anymore? And it's like, how you get mad at me for finding out?
Right.
Now, at the time, I had a lot of mixed emotions. I'm going to be super honest. I was actually thrilled. I was more thrilled that my birth certificate dad wasn't my dad. Because if I found out they were actually my relatives and they didn't want nothing to do with me, I'll be pissed off.
Yeah. It's looking like a big age difference. How old was your and your birth father at the time of your conception, approximately?
She was 31. And he was 68.
Okay.
And I just remember them being super cool growing up. And then I remember all this. And then the family was just telling me all these stories about how he was just getting a lot of women back in the day. He would always pull women. He would literally steal somebody's woman and get with somebody's wife, obviously, because I'm here.
Yeah.
And that was the stories that my siblings and my nieces and nephews were telling me. And he had no filter either. I kind of had no filter either, but his was worse in my opinion. But I don't feel like I was ready at the time. I should have gave myself some time before I reached out to everyone because I kind of dived head first into this. It was like on a Thursday, I found out that this man was my biological father. And then that Sunday, I was on the phone with my then 72-year-old sister who told me that she has grandkids who are older than me. So I was already a great uncle when I was born.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I have nieces and nephews. And the oldest was born in 1961.
That is so strange.
Yeah. I mean, now we're all cool with one another, you know, mm-hmm. We call each other, you know, they came down to visit me. I'll say it was so overwhelming because I really didn't know how to respond to a lot of the stuff. And then growing up, I found, you know, I thought that Mr. Red, he was this nice old man from across the street with candy who could do no wrong. Then I found out that he was actually violent. And he wasn't really there as much for his kids. But ironically enough, my nieces and nephews, they worshipped him. Like they kissed the floor he walked on. But when it came to my brothers and sisters, every time I would say something like, oh, I wish I would have knew that he was my biological father, they would always tell me, you're not missing out on much. He was not there for any of us. Yeah, they witnessed some stuff that no one should ever witness when it came to his temper. But a lot of the stories though they told was actually funny. Some were funny and some was just sad, but some of them I still laugh at. I'll tell you one of them after the recording. I can't say it on here. Yeah, so when my niece had told me that more people were on Ancestry, that's when I immediately went and bought a DNA kit from Ancestry. And 12 days later, I got my results back from there. And then I saw the rest of them on there as well. And this is where it gets a little interesting. There were three siblings on there that no one knew about.
Oh, wow.
So they had, yeah. So at the time, I guess I would have been like maybe child number 20 or something like that. So here's the thing. When I did my DNA test and submitted everything, I started doing some investigation amongst the matches that didn't look familiar. Yeah, I found four siblings since I took the test. And one of them actually lives in Tampa, Florida. And that's 2 hours away from where I'm currently living. So, yeah. So when I took Ancestry, I found three brothers. One of them actually passed away. So the one that actually passed away before I had the chance to meet him, his daughter was the one that took the test. And she mentioned that he was actually placed up for adoption. So he never knew who his mother or his father was. I was able to actually help that family find out who their biological grandfather was. But yeah, I found three brothers on Ancestry. And ironically enough, one of the brothers that I found, he went to high school in my hometown with one of my other brothers. They graduated the same year and they've seen each other, but never knew they were brothers.
He was an NPE as well?
Yep. Yeah, so not only I found out I was an NPE, just kind of open up some closet doors and yank some other people's skeletons out and let them know they were MPs too.
That happens. Yeah.
Yeah. My nephew said, man, you better quit wrecking these homes. I was like, I ain't wrecking shit.
Yeah. You did not do this.
I didn't do this. They took the test. I got curious. I messaged them. I responded to them. I told them how I think we're related. And then about a year later, I matched with another person, but I matched with, this one was actually a niece. And come to find out, again, her mom lives in Tampa, Florida. So I got excited. She actually never knew who her father was. She was actually placed up for adoption. She was actually conceived in my hometown, but they moved to Nashville afterwards. And then my sister ended up growing up in Nashville, and then of course, I ain't gonna tell her business, but eventually she moved to Tampa. Mm-hmm. So I got the chance to meet her about 5 months later. Now, mind you, when I found out I was an NPE, this was about 6 months before COVID. So I was on the right track of meeting like brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. I think I've met maybe about five. No, let's see. I met five siblings before COVID. And then I met like maybe five more after COVID. But yeah, like the siblings that I actually ended up finding, one of them I went to visit in California. He let me stay with him for 5 days. They are some amazing hosts. I would have to say one thing about this new family is that they welcomed me in with open arms. I think that was the one thing I was extremely lucky with, because a lot of NPEs, they get rejected from their families. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to deal with that. They was kind of disappointed with my biological father, but they welcomed me in with open arms. They came down to visit me, or if I'm going out of town somewhere, they will meet up with me somewhere. They'll buy me dinner. One of my brothers, he got me a Dolce & Gabbana cologne. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was extremely lucky and blessed. When I went to visit my family, you know, one of my brothers, this was like our first time meeting. And this is one of the things who I kind of steered into the direction that he was an NPE. Him and his wife had hooked up my room. They hooked up the guest room for me. They had towels, toiletries, snacks. They were cooking, buying dinners. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on here, but my brother has had a blunt rolled up for me. But I forgot to smoke it. I had went out that day, so I just left it on the counter. I'm like, damn it. But yeah, it's a lot to explain when it comes to the family, because it's so much and so many incredible stories when it comes to this side of the family. Now, finding out that I have a nephew who's a screenwriter. Can't really say the shows he writes, but he's a screenwriter. You know, I have a niece who's a professor. You know, I just have a lot of talented nieces and nephews, and it really, I got so drawn to them because I'm very artistic. I was doing a lot of drawing. I was in a church choir. I was doing a lot of artistic things versus my mom's side of family. They weren't really artistic like me. They were more into sports. And my biological father's side of family, none of my brothers, except for maybe two, were into sports. So I was like, oh, so I do belong somewhere. I just belong in the wrong family.
Yeah. So you've definitely seen some genetic mirroring between you and your new paternal family.
Yeah. And there's the resemblance between everyone, because we all have big foreheads, right? And I was the only one in my mom's side of the family that had a big forehead. So when I met these people, I said, God damn, they got some big ass heads. Even the same hairline. They had this, some of them had the same hairline as me. I was like, shit, these are really on my family. Now, obviously, you know, because some of them are much older than me, some of them had already passed away. So I didn't get the chance to meet some of them. So that's the part that kind of makes me sad about it.
Yeah.
I didn't get the chance to meet the ones that passed away. Now, I did get to meet some of, like, the kids and the grandkids. But it was just sad because I missed, you know, I felt robbed of, like, meeting my biological father's side of the family. Because for years, my mom talking about, this is your family. My husband's family is your family. But motherfuckers didn't want nothing to do with me. They weren't fucking with me like that. But then I meet my biological father's side of the family. They welcome me in with open arms. They always say, I love you. Some of them are coming. I'm graduating with a bachelor's in 2.5 months. And my 74-year-old brother and his wife are coming down to see me and watch me graduate. Some other people are coming down too, but they're still trying to work on their schedule. But yeah, like, they're coming down to Florida to watch me graduate. So, you know, it's real.
Yeah.
As far as me and my mom, I love her from a distance. I'm on the phone. I'll be on the phone with her for maybe a couple minutes. And then after that, I'm like, I don't want to be on the phone with your ass no more.
Yeah.
And even then, she had overstepped some boundaries. So back in August 2022, my sister, she was 79 years old. She had passed away after being in a coma for about 2 weeks. 3 weeks later, my mom calls me. And I should have known something was off because it sounded like she was drunk in her voicemail, in the voicemail she left me. She said that she met a woman and said that this woman had a claim to have a son by my biological father, who's 5 years younger than me. His name was Tobias. So I immediately give her a phone call and I asked her, do you have this lady's phone number? And she's like, no, I don't have this. I have her phone. I didn't get her phone number. I'm like, if this woman's claiming to have a child with my biological father, why you didn't get her contact information so I can get in touch with them? And she was like, well, I thought you knew. Like, no, we would not know. But then this is when she has this habit of lying. She said, well, I thought this brother knew. I'm like, no, because if this brother would have known, no, he would have told me. And then she said, I thought this other person knew. I'm like, no, again, if they would have known, I would have known. So I told her, you better track that woman down and you better get that lady's contact information. Meanwhile, my dumb ass decided to get on the phone with my biological father's side of the family and tell him this news, knowing that my sister had just passed away 3 weeks ago. So she finally got hold of that lady, gave her the phone, gave me her phone number, and I called her. And she was so confused. She was a nice lady, but she sounded so confused on what was going on. She was like, yeah, my son is 11. And I'm like, wait a minute, your son is 11? At the time, my biological father had been gone for 20 years. So I get on the phone with my mom. I'm like, this lady don't have a son with Red. What you talking about? And she was like, well, she said she did. I'm like, no, she said she don't have a son with him. And then try to argue with me on when my biological father passed away. She's like, yeah, you know, because Red passed away in 2016. Like, no, he did not pass away in 2016. He passed away in 2002. And then, you know, try to argue with me about it. I'm like, don't argue with me about what year my biological father passed away. So, of course, I get on the phone with my biological father's side of the family. And they didn't believe it anyway. So I was like, okay, good. At least they didn't believe it. But I was just so mad at my mom because she made me look messy.
No, yeah.
You know, she could have fucked that relationship up for me.
Yeah.
You know? And even then, she wasn't even sorry about it. She said, tell them I said I'm sorry. But this lady told me she had a son with them. Didn't even say she was sorry to me. She said she's sorry to them. Like, it's like she didn't really give a fuck about what the outcome could have been for me.
Yeah.
And this is how much of a narcissist that she really was. So the day of my sister's funeral, because I flew up to Ohio for it, I had came back because I was staying with my grandmother and my mom lives there with them now. So I go, I'm about to change out of my clothes. But my mom's like, take a picture of you in your clothes because I want to send it to your aunt. And I'm like, no, I took pictures already. I'll send them pictures. She says, oh, so you'll take pictures with them, but you won't take pictures for us. Like, what the fuck? That don't make sense. If I tell you that I took 50 pictures in them same clothes, those are the pictures that I'll be sending. I'm not taking no pictures. So that pissed me off again, because like now, once again, not only you're being a narcissist, but you overstepping your boundaries once again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so for a very long time, I was just so angry with her. So fucking angry.
How do you handle that relationship now?
I keep a distance.
Yeah.
I'll get on the phone with her from time to time. And then after like a couple minutes, I'm off the phone with her.
Yeah.
So that's how I do it. And then obviously, I listen to the podcasts, follow the pages. I'm in a support group. So that really helps me out a lot, because I didn't actually seek out support for the first 2 years because I didn't know there was like groups like this. Mm-hmm. And whenever I try to talk to people about it, it's the same thing. You're still you. Nothing ever changed. Your mom did everything to protect you. Mind you, some of the people that said this stuff don't even know what my life was like with her growing up.
Yep.
So it's just like, how the fuck would you know that? Were you a fly on the wall?
Yeah.
You don't know shit. My brother even said that same mess to me. I'm talking about the brother of my mom's that I was raised with. He said she did everything to protect you. But again, we witnessed a lot of stuff when it came to domestic violence in her relationship and her protecting them relationships and defending them relationships. So no, she didn't really protect us.
Yeah.
So that really pissed me off. So when I found these support groups, it just made life a little better for me. Like every time all the podcasts has come on, like yours, Alexis, MPE, like Don Anderson.
Yeah.
Like whenever a new episode come on, I'm listening to it. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel a lot better because I'm not the only one. I'm actually listening along and talking along like, oh yeah, that's some fucked up shit that she did.
Me too. I'm always nodding along when I hear these stories because I get it. We're the little community of nodding heads. We get it.
Yeah. And to be honest, let's be honest. People outside of our little world, we're like a joke, like memes and shit. I mean, I laugh at my own jokes, but no one really thinks about us and how we feel. So I think that's where it comes down to.
Devin, if people wanted to get in touch with you directly, could they do that?
Sure.
What would be the best way to contact you?
You can reach me through my email, Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Davis, D-A-V-I-S, 2277 @gmail.com. Or you can reach me through my Instagram, dd_227.
And I will put the links for Devin's email address and Instagram handle down below. If you scroll down, you should be able to find those in the show description.
I do want to say one fun fact.
Yes, please.
There's a chance that I may have a sibling in the Philippines and possibly New Zealand because my biological father served in World War II in the 1940s. And I also played with my nieces and nephews when I was little, not knowing I was related to them because we were across the street from one another.
Oh, that is so strange. And you remember actually meeting your birth father when you were a kid?
Yes, he was the nice old man from across the street with candy. I remember him. I remember his wife. Yeah, I remember them. I remember them very well.
Oh, so surreal.
Yeah.
Devin, keep in touch with me and let me know if more siblings pop up along the way. And thank you so much for sharing where you're at today. I really appreciated hearing your full story. So thank you.
Anytime.
These stories are here for us to identify with. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, email npestories@gmail.com. You do not have to give any identifying information. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, I'd like to hear from you. Subscribe to this podcast to hear more. Come heal with us.